You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome, my friends, to the Political Cesspool radio program. It is great, and I mean great, to be back here live with you in the studio this evening, Saturday night, August the 2nd. It was a very rare occasion indeed last week when we played a best of rebroadcast, although the guests weren't too shabby, if I do say so myself. Last week, the studio here, our flagship station here in Memphis, was doing some refurbishment to the equipment. And let me just say, before I get back to my train of thought, that when I walked in tonight, I've got these nice new headsets, nice new mic here that we're trying out for the first time. There's still going to be a little bit more transition each week up until, I believe, about the first week in September as we continue to switch out some equipment here in the studio. But I can get used to this. I can tell you, I can get used to this. But it was because of these refurbishments and these upgrades. It's an upgrade. It's an advancement that forced us to go dark last week. But that's okay because, you know, it doesn't happen often. I think once, maybe twice a year. You got roughly 52 Saturdays in a year, I guess. And maybe one or two were out. Christmas falls on a Saturday. Obviously, we're taking the night off. At this time, it had to do with upgrades to our equipment, but it's all to make a better listening product for you, our audience, ladies and gentlemen. So anyway, getting back to what I was saying a moment ago, we played a best of rebroadcast last Saturday featuring interviews that I conducted with Pat Buchanan, Gary Sinise, and Ray Stevens. Now, that's a memorable lineup of guests, to be sure, and I hope that everyone enjoyed listening to those selections again. I think it's nice to take pause on the occasions in which we have to. And if you have to have a night off, you play those rebroadcasts because it's just so great to be able to welcome guests of that caliber to our program. And anyway, since we weren't live last weekend, I took advantage of the night off. And as I wrote on my website last night at thepoliticalcesspool.org, my daughter went to a birthday party. And since we weren't doing a live show last Saturday, I was able to go with my daughter and my wife to this birthday party. We were 30 miles outside of Memphis when the show started at this birthday party, and the birthday party wrapped up at about 6:30 local time. And so we got back in the car, and I tuned into the show on the local AM dial, and I could hear the conversation. We played the Pat Buchanan interview, his most recent interview with us during the first hour last week. And the conversation that Pat and I were having was coming through loud and clear on the AM dial. Now, there's nothing new about that. We've been on the AM radio in Memphis and other select markets for 10 years now. So you'd think after a decade, the novelty of listening to your own show on the car radio would have worn off. But, you know, look at it from my perspective, since I'm always hosting the show inside the radio station during the time that it's being played. It's not often that I actually get to listen like that. And I can tell you the truth, you know, to be able to tune in like that, this truth-telling service that we provide is still something that makes me very proud to know that 30 miles outside of the radio station, all of those people out in that county, you could have tuned into the Political Cesspool loud and clear on the local flagship. And of course, you know, on the other AM FM affiliates of the Liberty News Radio Network and our online audience, my goodness, so many people around the world able to tune in online. We're blessed to have an online presence, but it's those AM stations that give you the legitimacy to be able to attract guests like a Gary Sinise or a Ray Stevens. And it's enjoyable to be able to provide such a high quality program that reaches so many. And I want to thank y'all again here. Folks, I was really jonesing to get back into the station tonight. I don't want to compare myself at all to a meth addict or anything like that, but it's after having, you know, to go a week without being here when you're so used to that routine. Yes, talk radio crack is what it is. And so much to bring you, ladies and gentlemen, and we're looking forward we're looking forward to doing that. 2 weeks worth of news tonight. Just wanted to thank y'all, my loyal and ever faithful audience, for making this work possible. And after that week off, I'm more than excited to be back with you live tonight. And we're going to have a big show. As I mentioned, 2 weeks worth of news stories we're going to try to cram into this show. You're probably saying, well, when are you going to get started? Well, you know how we like to do it here. We like to, especially after a week off, we like to open the program with a little banter and announcements. And there was one more thing I'd like to say on a personal note, since we're sharing openly here. It's therapy is what it is. Post over at one of my daily reads of the Occidental Dissent website, Hunter Wallace is the chief editor over there, and he made a guest appearance on our show, I think it was last month. And he had a message there that really, really resonated and struck a chord with me. He had pictures. He just had his first child, and it's a boy. And he had a bunch of pictures of his newborn baby there. And he pointed out something that was quite correct. You know, modern-day Americanism, to be a modern-day American in the way that the regime wants you to be, you know, that culture, that's the culture that celebrates homosexuality and sodomite marriage, abortion, miscegenation, childlessness, adultery, divorce, sexual promiscuity, and the whole gambit. You know, that's a culture of death, ladies and gentlemen. That's what political correctness and cultural Marxism is. Everything that this flag represents now, the American flag, everything that it champions, it's a culture of death. Celebrate family. And I was moved by the pictures that he put up. So last night, I was checking some emails and doing a little prep for this evening's broadcast. I put up a picture of my daughter and I. And, of course, my wife and I are expecting our second child in November. But I put up a picture that was taken earlier this summer on a family vacation of my daughter and I. And, you know, that's just, in the end, what we're all about. What do I do this show for? It's to advance the best interests of my family and your family, ladies and gentlemen. And there's a certain hierarchy there. God, family, republic. But I'll tell you, you know, being able to do this show and be able to talk about the things that we talk about, the stuff that every other mainstream show refuses to do, every other network besides this refuses to touch these issues, it's very much an honor. And to know that we have so many great people, so many truly model Americans, not in the sense of contemporary Americanism, but just the salt of the earth and the heart of the earth. It's great to be able to be here as your voice. And again, folks, we're always looking to bring to you a better product. And we hope that these upgrades, even though we had to take that week off 7 days ago tonight, were worth it. And don't forget, speaking of upgrades, there are new ways for our online audience to tune in now. Well, not necessarily new, but we've got them posted for you. You can listen via the Flash player if you've ever had any trouble tuning in online. And I think 99% of the audience would say that they have not. We have great network support. But we are upgrading not just the equipment here in the studio, but providing you additional ways to listen to the Political Cesspool live on the internet. And then, of course, that's if you're not in a market here in this country that currently carries us. There's the Roku player, there's the Listen Live line, all that information is there on the weekly promo at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Now, all of those announcements out of the way, let's get down to business tonight and celebrate being live on the air here in the Political Cesspool. Stay tuned, folks. I'm James Edwards, and we're going to get it cranked up right after this.
We fought, we learned, we struggled, we won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. together.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Well, folks, I've gotten confirmation from our production team that, in their expert opinion, and it is expert, that the audio is more crisp and clean tonight than ever before, and that's what we're trying to do here. Always, you know, we don't want to ever rest on past laurels. We always want to make it the best listening experience you can possibly have, always looking to advance and upgrade our work. You're probably wondering, though, where the rest of the team is tonight. This is Keith Alexander's last week off. We told you last month he was going to be taking a couple of weeks off to tend to business, and we'll tell you all about that next week, one way or the other. Next Saturday night, I'm going to have a very interesting update for you pertaining to our good friend Keith Alexander. So stay tuned for that. That alone will be worth tuning in for. I promise you, folks. You're going to want to know what Keith has been up to. Edith Bombardier Miller ran a 5-mile marathon. It was just a little snack for him. You know, he typically runs marathons, the biggies, you know, 26.2 miles and all of that. Well, he had a little snack today of a 5K, and, you know, Eddie's pushing 70, so he ran it this afternoon and wasn't quite prepared to come in tonight after all. So you're here with the one and only right now. But we do have Scoop Stanton calling in with a report later. We've got Sam Bushman on deck for the tail end of the show, and a surprise guest as well. So it's all coming up in addition to 2 weeks worth of news, like I promised you. But let's get this started off. I was talking about going out to the birthday party that my daughter went to. We were at a playground. It kind of ties into this. One of the cartoons that she watches is Thomas and Friends. Now, if you don't have young kids, you might not know all of these shows, but she watches Caillou. She loves pretty much anything on Disney Junior, Sophia the First. She loves Jake and the Neverland Pirates, of course, the Mickey Mouse Clubhouse and all that stuff. But Thomas and Friends is another one that, you know, she's watched since she was just, you know, an infant. And Thomas the Train, you know what I'm talking about, folks? This British children's television series, this cartoon. Thomas the Train is, wait for it, Thomas the Train is a racist. Yes, it's true. It's been uncovered that Thomas the Train is a racist. The Guardian is the name of the publication. Columnist Tracy Van Slyke is the one who uncovered this racism. It's so great that these progressive people like Tracy Van Slyke have these censors that can find racism in places that we would never think it existed. So in an article for this British newspaper, The Guardian, she claims that Thomas and Friends are not only racist, but sexist, classic, classist, and anti-environmentalist as well. Now, that's a lot of bad things for our poor children to be subjected to. But she finds the racism in the fact that Thomas, you're going to think I'm making this up, folks, but Thomas has white smoke. He doesn't emit. Just the traditional name Thomas is enough, and he's British, but he emits a white vapor. So that's definitely racist and very sexist too, because Thomas laughed at another train. You know, the trains have genders there in the land of Sodor. They're talking trains. They do work. And Thomas laughed at a boy train who was painted pink. So hate is found everywhere today. And thank God that we have these very smart, well-educated liberals to find these things and warn us of them. But this is what she writes. I mean, if you didn't think that my description of it was bad enough, listen to what she has to say. My son is 3.5 years old and thankfully never went through a manic train fascination like so many other children. But once in a while, he gets a bug in his brain to watch Thomas the Train. And every time I sat and watched it with him, I winced and groaned. Thomas and those friends that are trains toil away endlessly on the Isle of Sodor, which seems to be caught forever in British colonial times. And on its surface, the show seems to impart good moral lessons about the hard work and friendship. But if you look close through the steam rising up from the coal-powered train stacks, you realize that the pretty puffs of smoke are concealing some pretty twisted messages. For one, these trains perform tasks dictated by their little white boss, Sir Topham Hatt, whose attire of a top hat tuxedo and a big round belly is just a little too obvious. Basically, he's the dictator of their funky island. He orders the trains to do everything from hauling freight to carrying passengers to running whatever random errands he wants done, regardless of their pre-existing schedule. So right here, and she goes into it, he's obviously a plantation owner, and the trains are his slaves, and that he asked these trains to work, it just hits a little too close to home for her. So right there, you got the slave owner, you got the plantation, you got the plantation workers. So if there was a black lesbian train named Shakita on there or Traquicha, you know, I'm sure that would help her, but there's not. Now, she also goes into it that when the trains get into a fight with one another, Sir Topham Hatt has to scold them because their sole life is to satisfy him. I mean, this is what she's writing. I got to keep going here. It's so sick. I want to talk to it all, but she talks about how one train gets mocked for being pink and he's a boy. And obviously right there, you know, they're not up to date on, you know, gender equality, and that gender isn't based upon biology or anatomy. I mean, it's what you feel. But this is the one that I love the most. She says that all of the good trains in the show pump out white smoke, and the bad trains pump out black smoke. Now, it couldn't possibly be because the trains that have black smoke are coal burning engines, and the trains like Thomas who emit white smoke are steam engines, and so they emit vapor. It couldn't possibly be that. It's because the good guys have white smoke and the bad guys have black smoke, and so there again, more racism. And then she circles back in this column, which is documented for your reading pleasure if you can stomach it, at thepoliticalcesspool.org tonight. But so these are the lessons that she says people learn. You think watching Thomas the Train is going to file away the lesson that pink is okay for boys? No. What kids remember is that the train that was painted pink was cruelly laughed at because he looked different, and that he was clad in a quote-unquote girly color. At first blush, she concludes, Thomas and his friends seem rather placid and mild, and there are certainly a lot worse shows in terms of in-your-face racism. But looks can be deceiving. The constant bend of messages about friendship, work, class, gender, and race sends my kid the absolute wrong message. I guess you won't be happy until a homosexual train sodomizes Thomas's caboose or something in an episode for a kid to watch. I guess that would be a wholesome message that her kid could rally around and would need to be subjected to. But this just goes to show that liberalism is a mental disorder. Liberalism is a mental illness. It's a disease. And when they reach so far, I mean, you know, for decades now, we've been forced to accept the fact, well, not us, obviously, in this show, but you can't be proud of who you are if you're a European American. Obviously, you're a racist if you don't hate yourself, if you're not just wrapped up in white guilt, if you don't think that homosexuality is superior to heterosexuality and that every religion is superior to Christianity and all of these other things that cultural Marxism and political correctness teach us. You know, you're a racist, you're a bigot, you're a homophobe, Nazi, so on and so forth. Those were, sort of their basic opening talking points. But now, I mean, they see all of this and the show Thomas and Friends, that they reached that far shows you the true insanity of even their most basic of premise. It's absolutely sick. But this is put forth by a very major newspaper in the United Kingdom, a very well-known publication. And I guess you're just supposed to accept it as fact, or you are a backwards-thinking traditionalist that isn't fit for this new world order that's currently being built. But you know, this would be a great example for my book, Racism Schmacism. I mean, my book is chock full of examples like this. I mean, Thomas the Train is a racist because he has white vapor smoke and not black smoke. You know, this is what it's come to. It's a joke, but it's all a joke, folks. And remember that the next time you're getting denounced for having very basic common sense and heartfelt beliefs. We're going to take a break. We'll be back.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
If you want to experience the great outdoors in comfort and style, then you need products from Teton Sports. For any of your camping, hiking, or outdoor needs, Teton Sports has top-of-the-line products for any adventure. Our sturdy and lightweight Wilderness 55 backpack has a built-in rain fly and plenty of compartments and pockets, perfect for hiking the mountains or a weekend camping trip. And our zero-degree sleeping bag features Superloft Elite 4-channel hollow fiber insulation for warmth, as well as right and left side zippers to let you zip two Teton bags together. With an adjustable mummy hood and interior storage pockets, our sleeping bags are the best on the market. Teton Sports is all you need for any outdoor adventure. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman Warehouse, or Wholesale Sports. And next time you're preparing for an adventure, think of Teton Sports.
Whoa! This is big!
Not just big, it's the Freeze Dry Guys Giant Factory Authorized Sale. This month, save 30 to 45% off on number 10 cans of high-quality Mountain House freeze-dried foods from the Freeze Dry Guy. Factory fresh stock just arrived, so now's the time to stock up with the finest, best-tasting, longest-proven shelf-life foods in the industry at giant savings of 30 to 45% off. But hurry, supplies are limited to only the stock we have on hand. Call 866-404-3666. Free shipping to the lower 48 states. Click freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com. Hurry, the Giant Factory authorized Mountain House sale is going on now, only from the Freeze Dry Guy. The finest freeze-dried and dehydrated foods available anywhere for long-term storage.
Are you familiar with the term vigor, strength in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example. Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test, available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Political Cesspool Radio Program. I am your host, James Edwards. Peter Scoop Stanton, after having the same week off that I did last Saturday, has quite a bit to talk to us about. Scoop went back to Scoop lives in Washington, so I can't say Scoop went to Washington. He lives there. But he went back to the Capitol, if I understand correctly, with one of our most loyal listeners in the audience, the Matt the Copperhead from up in New York. So Scoop and the Copperhead joined forces in Washington. I still don't know exactly what they were doing, but I sure want to know. Scoop, how you doing tonight, buddy?
I'm doing okay. Unfortunately, the guest we had scheduled, I guess, forgot or what have you. So when I check my Twitter and Facebook, I'm about 500,000 pests give me the business. But other than that, I'm doing okay.
Well, listen, it's live radio. You got to roll with the punches, and it's why we never advertise a guest in advance of an appearance. We can put on a Thomas the Train episode and keep everybody entertained. You know, it's with all that racism and sexism and stuff. But tell us about Washington. How did the Copperhead and you link up? How did a cesspool correspondent, an on-air talent, hook up with one of our favorite listeners in the belly of the beast?
Well, Matt contacted me through you and said that he wanted to come down and see his elected representatives in Capitol Hill for refugee status for the Afrikaners. As you know, I went to Capitol Hill with Charlie LaDuff talking about the refugee status, about these tens of thousands of so-called children from Honduras, right, Guatemala, El Salvador. So Matt the Copperhead wanted to fly in from New York and speak to certain elected representatives about the Afrikaners. And boy, did we make an impact.
Wait a minute. I can see that going like a lead balloon, but not that it shouldn't, and not that that is not a very, very important question that should be dealt with, and those people need help, and God bless them. And I know that that's a issue near and dear to Copperhead's heart, as it well should be. But but I think this is great. So this is people helping people here in the political cesspool. So our audience reaches out, and we get them in touch with you because you are our man on the ground there in the seat of the empire. So y'all just go into Capitol Hill, and do you actually get to meet with at least a handler of the Copperhead's representative up in New York? I mean, who did you talk to, and exactly how did he present this case?
Well, we talked to many of handlers and these congressional pages, interns, legislative aides, and so forth. And let me put it to you this way. Matt and I didn't fit in for a couple reasons. One, we were both males. Number two, we were both heterosexual. And number three, we didn't have any money. So, needless to say, we wouldn't make good congressional pages or people to see the good representatives on Capitol Hill. So, our first stop was none other than Chucky Schumer's office from New York.
Now, so is Charles Schumer actually Copperhead's representative?
Well, for the New York State Senate, yes.
So, right. Well, there you go. Well, that makes sense. Sure, he's in New York, of course.
Right. You go to his office, he's got pictures of himself winning elections. So it's all about himself. So
Chuck Schumer, how did the Copperhead, Scoop, if I could ask this, how did he present the case to Schumer? I can't see how that conversation even gets started.
Well, he asked to see the good senator. If you hear them sirens, I think they're coming after me. But I'll let the Copperhead explain how he did it. I'll give you the nickel version.
Okay.
So then we went to Senator Feinstein's office, and of course she wasn't available. Then we saw one of the senators from Arkansas, since Matt the Carpenter owns a piece of property in Arkansas. And then we went to see the Tennessee senators, Mr. Corcoran and Alexander, for the behalf of one of our colleagues who's having some issue. But luckily,
you went to go see Lamar Alexander and Bob Corker on behalf of Eddie the Bombardier Miller. So what does he say? Did you actually get to meet any of the actual representatives, or was it just their lackeys?
Oh, it was the lackeys. Everybody was either a staff meeting and a vote or doing something else. But
sure,
if you're a lobbyist and you had an appointment, and boy, they sat you down and said, the Senate representative will be right out. But anyways, as we're going to office, there's not one straight white heterosexual male that worked in these offices as pages.
What do you expect? It's reflective of their perverted mentality. I mean, they were going to have people there that, you know, unlike the rest of the country, unlike the vast majority of the country, that actually believes like they do. But I keep interrupting, but I'm fascinated by the story. And once I heard that you and the Copperhead had gone back to the Capitol, going back for you, because you were there a couple of weeks ago with LaDuff. But I just couldn't wait to get you on tonight to talk about it. But yeah, keep on going. So what do their lackeys say in response to the Copperhead and you presenting the case on why they should take up the cause of the Afrikaners?
They were receptive. They said, oh, okay. And, took down our information. I gave them my business card with the Political Cesspool radio show. And I said, I told them I was media and, call me anytime. And of course, ran off the hook.
Well, so they basically were just polite enough to placate you and blow you off. Well, I think I've got this thing figured out for Eddie now. I think I've got it figured out. Eddie the Bombardier Miller swears that the NSA is tailing him now.
Right.
You and Copperhead had just gone up to serve as his proxy. It all makes sense.
But, hey, James, I got to let you go for 1 minute. Just carry on, and I'll call you back in a couple.
We'll be waiting for Scoop to call back. Scoop is, of course, at work. This is the thing when you're a volunteer radio show. Scoop works. He's actually at his job. It takes his break to coincide with his segments on the radio. But this is something, folks, that is endearing. We all sacrifice to make this work possible. And then on our downtime, we're doing stuff like can you imagine? I applaud these guys. And we're going to hear from the Copperhead in the third hour, too, and he can fill in some blanks as well, because this is something that I wanted to make a focal point of tonight's broadcast. Now, these two guys, we talk about things, we complain about things. I'm not saying we as in necessarily, we all complain about things. Let's be honest. But, we try to do things, too. Here in the Political Cesspool, we try to take the battle to the enemies of the fight to reclaim America's destiny. But people are actually trying to do something. Was it an exercise in futility? You never try. You're always going to fail. That's for sure. I don't think that Chuck Schumer and Lamar Alexander are going to take up the cause of the Afrikaners, of course. But there you have, a cesspool listener and one of our staff members going up there and at least making an effort. And I think that deserves a round of applause. I'm very proud of Scoop Stanton. I'm very proud of Scoop. I'm very proud of the Copperhead. And, of course, Sam Bushman, owner of our network, is going to be up in D.C. doing much of the same thing, not for the same issue, of course, but going up to petition representatives there in September. So, we're doing everything we can. Any means available to us to try to make an impact or at least let these people know that there are still right-thinking people out there, that not everybody embraces this culture of death that I was talking about earlier in the show, that there are still right-thinking people out there. Scoop's passing out those political cesspool cards. They see there's a powerful nationally syndicated show out there that makes a home for these ideas and for right-thinking people across the country and around the world, and they know that the battle is not yet over. They haven't gotten all the ground yet, not so long as we're here, and not so long as people like Matt the Copperhead and Scoop Stanton are going out there in the streets. And, of course, Eddie the Bombardier Miller was a street activist long before he got into the radio. So you know, yeah, I'm happy about the upgrades here at the radio station. The studio is a lot nicer, but it's not all comfortable chairs and headsets. I mean, just talking about these issues now, and as Orwell said, in an age of universal deceit, is certainly more than most Americans are willing to do. And we certainly take risks in even talking about these things, at least in terms of being called names and having to suffer the relative indignity of the garbage that our detractors say about us, which is almost entirely fabricated and just a gross exaggeration of the truth. And you all know that, folks. You've been listening to me for 10 years. But it's not just sitting here and talking, even though I think that's a lot and that we accomplish a great deal with this show. You know, it grows every week. The audience is bigger every week. And so I'm excited about that. But we're going to hear more about Scoop's time on the ground in Washington right after this commercials. He's back with us now. The boss let him come back on. Stay tuned, folks.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Okay, we're back with Peter Scoop Stanton, who was filing his weekly report here on the Political Cesspool radio program, and I was celebrating the fact, truly, that he and the Copperhead were there in Washington going and fighting a good fight and trying to petition elected officials for something worth their, you know, worthy of their attention. So anyway, Scoop, continue filling in the blanks. You said that they were polite enough, but of course we don't hold out any hope, not even 1%, that anything's going to be done. But continue on with let us live vicariously through your recollections.
Okay. As we're going around Capitol Hill, hold on. My daughter's excited that I'm talking on the phone. So we went to a Senate Foreign Relations hearing with Senator Mel Martinez was presiding over something boring. So the copperhead met Senator Martinez.
Okay, so y'all actually did get to meet one of the main guys.
Correct. So instead of it was a picture perfect moment, Senator Martinez is very receptive. But yours truly, instead of taking his phone and taking a picture, was looking at an app about a problem with the choo-choos in D.C.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of problems with trains this week, not just in D.C., but, you know, Thomas is under fire and all that. I mean, you wouldn't have really wanted a picture with Mel Martinez, though, would you? I mean, I guess he is a senator, so it's like, you know, running into a, you know, any other, you know, somebody that's been in the news. But, I mean, you know, certainly he's not anybody that I'd necessarily want to meet. But I guess the novelty of having just to say you. We could put a picture of you and him up on the cesspool site and probably cost him the next election, but, you know, besides that.
Right. So then we decided then to go to the congressman's, the Congress. We saw Representative Cohen on behalf of the Bombardier.
Right.
And his representative was, you know, could give a hoot. Then we decided to see Representative Peter King. Yours truly was wearing his my lanyard that had my smart trip card and my work ID. And the young page behind at the desk thought I was a representative of the Sons of Anarchy. I had to tell the young lady the Sons of Anarchy was a television show.
Well, you're certainly a Hellraiser, Scoop. I mean, you got that much.
Right. And what's funny is that as we're going from, you know, office to office to office, people want to know who we represent. And, you know, other than the cesspool, you know, Matt came down as just himself. He didn't represent a particular group, particular organization. He was just a concerned citizen.
But I wonder how common it is for them to actually come into contact with a real American, somebody that's not with the media, somebody that's not a lobbyist, you know, somebody that's not a whore of a political operative, just a legitimate constituent, a voter. That can't be common.
It's not.
They probably looked at him like a three-eyed alien or something.
Exactly. And they said, who do you represent? Ourselves? Well, I you know, dropped the name of the cesspool, of course, but I said, hey, well, I'm with me. They just, you know, give us a call. But, again, nobody did. So then as we're leaving Representative King's office, we decided to get some lunch. And I said, all right, let's go to Chick-fil-A because I know there's only one Chick-fil-A.
Right, there you go.
Whole New York City area that's on the campus of NYU. So I asked the young lady who thought I was a representative of the Sons of Anarchy. I said, where is the nearest Chick-fil-A? And she said, oh, I think it's at Union Station. Boy, she could not be wrong. So because I went to Union Station and there's no Chick-fil-A. So I was like, all right, there's one in Crystal City in Virginia. So we went there and enjoyed our lunch. And, of course, I was running late. So we had to say goodbye at Chick-fil-A at a hot foot to work. But also, I managed to contact Charlie LaDuff to let them know that the crazy guy who thought he was Jesus is still at the spot. And he said, of course he is. Also, I gave Matt the phone because he wanted to say hi to Charlie and say what a big fan he is. On a side note, Mr. LaDuff is going back to the border, so I'll keep you updated on that.
And of course, as you know, well, I want to be sure to work this in, Scoop, while you're mentioning this. Folks, one of the most incredible 5 minutes worth of footage from the border. I guess it was a news report. It was a full package, you know, put together and edited with all the bells and whistles. But Charlie LaDuff really did a great job on that. I know we've run it a couple of weeks ago on the Political Cesspool's website when LaDuff went down to McAllen, Texas, and just, you know, he showed the coyotes bringing illegal aliens, third world aliens, over on jet skis in broad daylight, crossing the Rio Grande, just letting them out, and they were walking up, and no big deal. It was a great eye-opening piece. I mean, it's one thing to talk about how porous the borders are and how unsecure they are. It's another thing to actually see it, and LaDuff let us see it. And, of course, there was a second part of that five-minute report that took place in Washington, D.C., when LaDuff was trying to hold the decision-makers' feet to the fire about securing the border, and he couldn't get a straight answer. But what you couldn't see on the camera was that Peter Scoop Stanton was right there with LaDuff, who is, of course, a reporter for Fox News Detroit, who had been on this show himself as a guest a month or two ago. And so that was great. And I know you and LaDuff have struck up a friendship of sorts. And you were, of course, back at the Capitol again with the Copperhead trying to lobby for good cause as Joe Citizen. So I appreciate, Scoop, I appreciate what you're doing. I really mean that in all sincerity. I know we kid around a lot, and we all have a good time, you know, our band of brothers here, myself and you and Eddie Miller and Keith Alexander and Winston Smith will be with me during the second hour tonight co-hosting as we cover a lot of news items. You know, we have a brotherly and a familial bond, and we joke around a lot and we rib each other. But I appreciate what you've done for this show in the last couple of weeks. I mean, going up there and filing this report, I think that's something that's interesting. It makes for interesting radio. Getting, you know, LaDuff on this show and Sean Bergen. Sean Bergen, the News 12 reporter up in New Jersey, who was dismissed for saying that there's a correlation between illegitimacy in the black community and their proficiency for violent crimes such as murder after a black individual up there had allegedly murdered a police officer. And he was on the Political Cesspool thanks to Scoop Stanton reaching out and getting these guests. And the goal of this show, the purpose of this show, is never to be a showcase for celebrity guests. That was never my intention. That was never my vision for this program when I founded it 10 years ago. If that had been the idea, we could have gone that route, but certainly we wouldn't be talking about a lot of the issues that we must talk about on this show. But it is fun. It is rewarding to, from time to time, bring on a Gary Sinise or a Ray Stevens or some of these other people, LaDuff and Bergen. And well, the list of celebrity guests has certainly grown quite a bit over the years. I mean, I can't remember them all now, but there's been quite a few. And it doesn't mean that they agree with everything that we say. It doesn't mean certainly that we agree with everything they say. But when we have a Gary Sinise on to talk about helping out wounded veterans, or we have Ray Stevens on to talk about some of his music that parodies the Obama administration, that's common ground. And, you know, they come on, and certainly it's good for the show to do that from time to time. But the sole focus of this show, or the primary focus rather, would be to talk about the issues that no one else touches, and to do it in a way that's very professional and informative and, yes, entertaining. We want to be entertaining too. We don't want to be boring. We don't want to be monotonous and just drone on about things. We want to present it in a way that's attractive. But it all comes together. The product comes out in the wash, and you know, we're improving audio and all of that stuff, improving more equipment. We always look for ways to better it. I've said that a time or two tonight already. But anyway, all of that having been said, Scoop, I appreciate the work that you do for this show, and I appreciate the things that you've made happen for this program on and off the air, and I really mean that.
No problem. The pleasure is, believe me, the pleasure is all mine, because Matt and I, within, you know, half a second, we were like two peas in a pod. And what's funny is that this show introduced Matt the Copperhead to Sean Bergen. So, I mean, talk about full circle right there.
Well, it's great. I mean, it's all about, listen, we have to form a network, not a radio network. We already got that with Liberty News Radio. But I'm talking about a network of cooperation and community and people working together and us using the resources at our disposal. And certainly they're quite limited compared to that of our opposition and our competition in the media, but we have certainly carved out a niche for us here on the mainstream AM, FM radio airwaves in this country and around the world via the internet and the other ways that you get to listen. We have carved out a piece of the mainstream media. And it's not so easy for us to be dismissed anymore as it was in perhaps the first couple of years, the formative years when we started talking about all of these things. We hadn't built up credibility even within our own audience. You got to stand the test of time for a little while. And we've certainly done that now. And as we approach a decade of excellence and 10 full years on the radio, we're going to pause to celebrate that in October. And I know, Scoop, you'll be down here to join in the revelry. But we got a good thing going here, folks, and I think the future looks very bright. We got a good team in place, and we enjoy the guests that we have on, and certainly the issues we talk about, and the audience that supports us. And as you were just mentioning, Scoop, you know, there you had the Copperhead come into town. Y'all went and took Capitol Hill by storm and did everything you could possibly do. And you're introducing him to some other people in his neck of the woods, like Sean Bergen. It's great. What people don't know, I think the point I'm driving at here, is that there's so much that goes on behind the scenes of this show that we don't necessarily talk about on the air each week that, could produce good fruit as well. The audience should know that our work doesn't end, at 9 o'clock. Central time every Saturday night. It's, there's work that goes into this show every single day, managing the website and keeping it up with news stories, a couple of news stories a day. Work is done on this show every single day, and not just by me. So, Scoop, a final word to you, my friend. Well, listen, I appreciate you, buddy. We'll be looking forward to your contributions next week as well. And for everyone else, stay tuned. Winston Smith is on deck, and we're going to connect with Winston, and we got a lot of stories. It's going to be a rapid fire time here in the second hour. You're not going to want to miss it.
Is in the can, but don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.